Say hello to my little friend. So you might be wondering, as you look at the title of the message today, if I've lost track of the days already into 2016, because today is day two of 2016, but I want to tell you what's more significant to me. Today is day three of 10 days of prayer that we have been engaged with in our community here in Lodi, in our Adventist community. And I was thinking back to the first time I remember having an experience like we've been having at our gatherings for 10 days of prayer. It was at a prayer conference up in Beaverton, Oregon, a lot of years ago. I think it was about 20 years ago. And I remember being in that church and having the realization come over me as we shared a time of prayer that we weren't just a bunch of people, one praying their prayer, and another praying their prayer, and another praying their prayer. But what was happening was that all together we were having one prayer to go up to our Heavenly Father before His throne, and that He was listening to us, and that His presence was filling the place as each one added their sentence, as each one added their overflow from their heart. It was one experience with one people united before God in prayer. And I want to tell you, that has been my experience as we've gathered here for the 10 days of prayer. We started on New Year's Eve right here, and then last night we were at the Fairmont Church, and then tonight we're going to be at the hospital. And all of these nights, Thursday night and last night, it has been a wonderful experience. And I'm wondering if there's anyone here who was at one of those nights so far, either Thursday night or Friday night or both. I would love you to share with our church family an experience of what that was like for you, of some way that God touched you. Because I know God's been touching us. Is there someone who would be willing to share what God has done for you so far as we've gathered together in prayer? Would that be you, Carolyn? All right, Carolyn. I'm going to give Carolyn the red mic. Oh, he's rushing. I didn't tell him about this. All right.
Good morning, church family. It has been a blessing to be there. There's about 60 or so of us. There's room for more. I feel so much closer to the Lord in these last 2 days than I have the whole year. And I believe that that is something others have felt too, because we're in one accord.
Amen.
So please come and join us.
Amen. The theme is abiding in Christ. And as we go to the different places, we're going around to the different places where ministry is taking place in our community, in the Adventist church. And we are focusing. On Thursday night, the group spent some time focusing on praying for you, the English Oak church family, and for the ministry of our church. Last night we focused on Fairmont. Tonight we'll be focusing on the hospital. It's exciting. The chaplain, Chris Hagen over there, Pastor Chris, he's right back there, he put the word out that the Adventists are coming and they're going to be praying. And he's gotten over 40 requests from employees asking us to remember them in prayer. Is that past 50 yet? No. Getting close to 50. So already hearts are being touched. Is there someone else that had an experience that you want to share? Yes, Judy.
The first day at work prior to this starting in our huddle group, our manager asked if there was anyone doing anything special that evening. And I raised my hand and I said, yes, we're going to have 10 days of prayer starting. And I started sharing a little about it. But it's like an infectious, contagious experience with the Holy Spirit, like she said, putting in one accord, and it's just something so wonderful and so special. As we pray, we're just spawning off one another's prayers, agreeing in prayer together, and it's just a wonderful experience you don't want to miss.
Amen. Yes, Kathy. Whatever you imagine a prayer meeting might be like that keeps you away from it, forget about it. Just come. See what happens.
I have been praying that the Lord would send people out in droves for this. This has just made me feel closer, so much closer to the Lord. And it feels like we're there, we're like we're a family. We're from Spanish Church, the Fairmont Church, the English Oaks Church, people from the hospital. And we feel like we're a family of God all together praying for the same thing. And I just want to stress so much for you to come out because it has been such a blessing, and I know you will be blessed if you join us.
Amen.
Join God.
Amen. Yes. Debbie.
Well, I just had a really beautiful feeling last night as we were all praying. It just felt like we were in a semicircle, and it felt like the Holy Spirit came and just hugged us all and was lifting us up as one. It was very, very beautiful.
Amen. And Susie.
I just want to say last Thursday, midday, I was praying because I really want to go to this 10 days of prayer, but I have a rescue dog of 10. I've had her 10 months, and she's from a shelter, and she's timid, and she's had multiple owners. She's been dumped, and she's afraid I'm going to dump her. So I have this problem. I can take her during the day. She'll stay in a car. But at nighttime, my neighbors say she cries constantly. So I was praying, what am I going to do? So Thursday, my neighbor asked me if I could let her dog out to go to the bathroom. She was going away for a few hours. And I just kept praying, how am I going to get there? What am I going to do? When she came back, I said, what's your dog doing tonight? Can your dog come over and babysit my dog? And sure enough, for the last two nights, my neighbor's dog has been babysitting my dog so I could go.
Amen.
And it's been uplifting. And if I have to get a dog sitter to babysit my dog, come on, let's all come.
All right, I've noticed something. We've fed into a stereotype. It's these prayer meeting things are only for the ladies and pastors. Is there a man who's had a good experience here? All right, George, thanks for coming through. All right. Hailing from 6 feet, 7 inches.
9.
6 feet, 9 inches. I'm sorry, sir. I'm very sorry,
That's
sir.
That's okay.
He's going to tell you with authority.
Well, I guess I'm representing the men here tonight, today. But happy Sabbath, everybody. And I'll tell you, those of you who haven't made it to the meeting, you really are missing an incredible blessing. I think most of us here believe that Jesus is coming, and he could come this year. When we see all the things that are happening around our world, and, you know, I run into people all the time. I was on a doctor's appointment just on Thursday. I don't know. I'm so messed up because of the holiday. But anyway, I was at a recent doctor's appointment, and I met a guy. And we were talking briefly, and he's not an Adventist. He's a Christian, though, and he goes to church. And I said, you know, brother, Jesus is coming. He goes, oh, man, you're not kidding. So we're not the only ones that know, you know, as we look around. And I'm telling you, if you want to be ready when Jesus comes, this 10 days of prayer is going to help you recommit your life to follow what Jesus wants you to do. I'm seeing that personally in my own life, and I would just invite you to take part. You really, really will gain a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, George, sir. I want you to know that if for some reason on a given night you cannot make it. The 10 days of prayer is not just for when we're gathered. It's for everybody. So take this time. One of the things that we've been invited to do during the 10 days of prayer is to make a list of 7 people that we are going to especially pray for them to make a connection with the Lord. And so I would encourage you, whether you're able to come or not, please, let the Lord put on your heart 7 people to be praying for in your family, in your neighborhood, at work, among your network of friends, people you went to school with or go to school with. Please, let the Lord put them on your heart and pray. If you go to the 10daysofprayer.org website that the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists has up. You'll be able to find testimonies of what happened in people's lives last year, of people who came to Christ, of miracles in people's family, of transformations in their church experience in life. So be a part of this. Let God work. And as George was saying, the times call for it. As you look at the times that are happening in the world, at the crises nationally and internationally, I know you're thinking about who to vote for and everything like that, but I want to tell you something. Whoever you vote for is not going to be able to solve all that's going wrong in the world today. If you hear a call, go ahead and vote. Vote your conscience, vote as the Lord leads, vote according to your convictions. But more than that, let's gather together and let's pray and seek the Lord individually and together. Let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for what you are doing in your church. We thank you for what you're doing in our community. We thank you for your presence here and now and the gift of your word and of your spirit. We ask your word, your spirit, your very heart to meet us today and transform us through the power of your word. If there's anyone here today without hope, I pray that they will receive hope today. If there is anyone here today who is lukewarm, I pray that we will be lit on fire today by your spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Each day has a different theme in the 10 days of prayer. And I'm going to give you a head start on tonight because the theme scripture for tonight, the theme being Christ in us, is Galatians 2, verse 20. Some of you may be familiar with Galatians 2, verse 20. I am so thankful. I had a Bible teacher in junior academy when I was a kid, Doug Herman, and he taught us this as a song, and it nested it in my heart so that it's been with me ever since. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Does anyone have a King James Version here? I went and put it on the New King James Version up there. I want you to have the same advantage that I have. And Serge has graciously let me use his guitar so that I wouldn't have to plug and unplug. I want to teach you that song because I believe more than anything I can tell you about this scripture, the power of God's Spirit is in His Word. So I want His Word to live in you. And so I want you to learn this song. We're going to sing it a couple times, and then at the end, we're going to sing it again. I see some of you are looking at me with leery eyes. It's okay. You're going to be all right. If you don't feel comfortable singing, hum. And if you don't feel comfortable humming, just listen and let it sink into your heart somewhere so that this scripture can nest in your heart and do what God sent it to do. And if you know the song, sing it on the first try and you'll get extra credit. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that simple? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. At the end, maybe we'll sing it in a little higher key. Every time I practice, it feels right, and then when I sing it, it's too low. But we will do that again so that you can get that nested in your heart. I think for the Christian, there are not many scriptures more important than this one. You might think of John 3:16. And it's definitely up there and possibly surpassing, but we don't have to rank them. This one is so central. This one is so crucial. And maybe you're thinking about, what does this mean? I have been crucified with Christ. We're going to look into that a little bit as we compare Scripture. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, as you think about that one way, that may be a very encouraging word from the Lord. That may be a very encouraging thought to think that you're going to open the way that you are no longer going to be the one in charge of your life, but Christ is going to come and live in you, and you can say, amen, hallelujah, because I've been trying to live a good life all along. I've been trying to do what he calls me to do, and I can't do it. And what good news? Colossians 1:27, the phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of transformation. But I want to tell you, it's okay if you have other thoughts. Because as you think about this, you might have a part of yourself that says, so what happens to me? If I agree for Jesus to do this, to crucify me with him, and let it be no longer I who live, but him in me, what does that make me? I'd like to have a volunteer. This is a highly technical piece of equipment. I'm wondering if there's anyone here who might be able to operate this, a young person. Okay, so there's a whole row over here. Would all you guys, there's five of you, please come. Johnsons and one Mason and one Walcott, I think. Is that a Walcott there? No, I don't think that's a Walcott. I think that's an Anderson. Yes, that's an Anderson. Okay, come on up here, guys. Okay, I want to see if you guys know how to operate. Here, let's kind of come up in front of here. All right. Okay. Stick out your hand, Kristen. Okay. Do you know where? You know how to stick your fingers, your thumb in here, and your pinky right in here, and the rest of your fingers, jam them up into his head. Okay. Can you make that thing move? Look at that. Okay. So what's going on here? So this raccoon, it's not the raccoon that's doing it, right? It's Kristen that's doing it, right? And everything that the raccoon is doing is really Kristen. Well, there's something good about that. Let's think about that some more. Here, let's see how you do, Maddie. You think you can operate this piece of technical equipment? The raccoon. I'm sorry, I don't even have a name for it. I'm not that much into naming things. I name people, but not things. Let's see. What else can you make it do? Clapping. Very good. Nodding. Getting a headache. All right. Very good. And so now, it's not the raccoon that's doing those things. Who's doing it? Maddie's doing it. Okay, let's see what happens with Allie. Oh, are you left-handed like Missy? Fantastic. All right. Can you get your thumbs and your fingers? Let's see. Can you make it scratch its forehead? You can make it stroke. Oh, we have some outside help. Sometimes that happens in life too, doesn't it? You feel like you need to. Oh, it can roll over. Now, was it the raccoon that rolled over, or who was doing that? Allie was doing that. Okay, Allie, thank you very much. All right, Missy, another wonderful lefty. She says I have to give her a dollar. No, I don't. Okay, now let's see. What can you, it's praying. Oh, wonderful. Now, who's making it fold its hands and pray? Is it doing it itself, or who's doing this? Missy in the raccoon. Okay, Cedric, let's see what you can do. All right, a right-hander. Okay, very good. Okay, so there he is. He's rubbing his cheek. He's clapping. He's wiggling. You know what's fun? Let me show you something. Here's the way I used to do this for my kids. You get it thoroughly in there, and then you hold it like this. You make it look around. Rub its face. Can you shake your hand? Oh, shake your hand. Oh. Look at, they're falling in love with this piece of cloth. Goodness. Goodness. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You may go to your seats. So, do you want to be Jesus' puppet? Do you think Jesus is in the business of making puppets? That doesn't sound quite right, does it? And so, let's talk about this further. Now, there's another level that I want to show you. Watch this. This is a different level here. Now look at this raccoon. This raccoon claps. Is it a puppet? No. It has learned from the person who's throwing the treat that if it does this, it will get treats. Isn't that cool? So, question is, do you think that Jesus wants you to be a trained animal? That's better than a puppet, right? Don't you think that's better than a puppet? I think that's better than a puppet. Now, next level here. Watch this level of training. Check this out, what a raccoon can do. Now, they don't show it in this little video of 31 seconds, but I imagine, I think as I see it come to the end of its little run, see that foot right there? I bet that person has a treat for the raccoon, don't you? See? Yeah, you kind of saw it, didn't you? The person has, so it just kind of dawns on us that Jesus isn't trying to make us into puppets. Do you think he wants us to be trained animals so that we do a patterned behavior so that we get a treat at the end? Is that it? Let's look into this scripture and let us find out what God is telling us. First of all, I want you to look at the context. If you'll open your Bible to Galatians chapter 2, I want you to look and see what it's talking about in there. You might be surprised. Pardon me, I went the wrong direction. Galatians 2 and verse 20. It's amazing and it's interesting that Paul is actually talking about people who came who tried to get the Galatians to try and work their righteousness to create their relationship with God by doing the ceremonial works of the ceremonial law. In this particular case, he's talking about circumcision. Ask your parents when you get home. But anyway, and he's talking about the problem he had in the church with people who were trying to make new believers. You may remember, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. People who were trying to make the new believers follow all of the old ceremonial law so that they could be true people of God. And Paul had to oppose them. Paul had to push the other way against them. And he's saying here as you get down to verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's talking here about rebuilding this way of trying to get right with God through doing the works of the law. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live how? To God, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. What Paul is saying here, he's given up on what he himself can and wants to do. We find evidence of this in the scripture elsewhere. I would like to look together with you at the call of Jesus in John chapter 15 as he's talking to his disciples. This is the theme scripture for the whole 10 days of prayer. And look what Jesus says about this interrelationship between him and his followers. Abide in me. Wait a minute. A puppet can't do that, can it? Can a puppet do that? No, it's always the puppeteer in the puppet, right? But Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Look at that. That's a complete interconnection. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and you may remember the context of this. This is talking about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. He's talking about this kind of connection. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, unless it remains connected to the vine, intertwined cell to cell. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This is talking about a complete internet connection between you and Jesus. Is that clear to you? This is talking about a complete weaving together so that you are one thing, you and Jesus. This is what Jesus was praying for in John chapter 17, asking that we would be one, well, not only with each other, but with him and with the Father, as he is in the Father and the Father in him, that we would be one together with him. This is his call. This is what he is asking for. And this is what he is telling his disciples, for us to be connected to him, for our life to come from him, and for our life to feed into him, all connected, all one agenda, all one way. I'd like you to turn also to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is a wonderful scripture that describes what happens at the beginning of our walk with Jesus, as illustrated in baptism. It keys off of this whole idea of being crucified with Christ. What's it say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you hear the echo in Galatians? I am what? I am crucified with Christ. As many as us, as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. What was crucified with him? The old man, that is the self. That is you as just you doing what you do. The Bible calls it the flesh. Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He's talking about this. He's talking about the self-driven you. The you that operates according to your natural selfish instincts, like Knowlton was talking about, that we want to leave behind as we begin this new year. He's talking about you that's on your own agenda to get what you want, to do what you want, to experience what you want. All of these kinds of things. He's saying this, the old you is put to death. I am crucified with Christ. that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live, and what's the next word? With. We shall also live with him. We will live in connection with him, his life in us. Now I want you to think about this. How does this work? Your old self with your old agenda is put to death and a new you is brought to life. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, there's that word again, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now I want you to think about the disciples of Jesus, not just before Pentecost, not just before Jesus died, rose again, and the Holy Spirit was poured on them in power. I want you to think about them after Pentecost. Did they all have the same personalities? No. You look at someone like Barnabas, who was the son of encouragement. What happened when Saul was converted? If any of you know the story of Saul, he was the one who became the Paul whose letter we're reading. And he had been hell-bent, and we'll say it clearly, he was hell-bent on persecuting and getting rid of all the followers of Jesus. He was a faithful Jewish believer in the law, in the place of the people of Israel, in the plan of God in history. And he saw Jesus as a problem, and he went after Jesus' followers. He was there when one of Jesus' followers was the first martyr killed for his faith in Jesus. He was there holding the coats. He was part of the council that made these determinations that the Christians should be wiped out, imprisoned, and cast away. And he, on one of his missions, had a supernatural experience of Jesus stopping him in his tracks with a blinding light, knocking him off of the donkey that he was riding, and saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul, the persecutor of the followers of Jesus, became one. Now, how do you think the followers of Jesus felt when Saul approached them, saying, I'm now one of you? Do you think they naturally said, you, Saul, you're one of us now? It didn't go exactly like that. They were afraid of him. They thought this was some kind of trick. But one follower of Jesus, Barnabas, he reached out to Saul and he discipled him. Of course, you know about Ananias, those of you who know the story, the very first one who was afraid of Saul coming to him, but began his discipleship process. And Barnabas brought Saul and introduced him to the other believers and disciples and said, it's all right. He is truly one of us. Do you see his personality? Alive and well there? A welcoming personality? Someone who was more naturally inclined to be friendly and to reach out beyond his fears? You see personalities. You see different ones having different personalities. You see what Jesus does, if you'll let him, is he will put his character in you. He will put his values in you. Does he make the decisions about what you're going to do when Christ is in you, the hope of glory? Does he make the decisions like, I decided to wiggle my pinky just now, and so there you are standing there facing someone that you have been suspicious of, that you have had a problem with, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, I can't believe I have to be with this person. I can't believe that they're hanging around me, just bothering me, but your body's going, and you're hugging them, and you're loving on them, and you're saying, I'm so happy to be with you, while your heart is saying, ugh. Is that how it works? No. He puts his character into you, if you will let him. He changes you, if you will let him. So that now you still with a personality that's recognizable to other people who have known you, with a personality that is still recognized, so that you are now the person who lives not for self, but for Jesus and for others. Not for sin, but for righteousness. You're that person who as we talked about last week, who is able to make the decision based on the power of Jesus at work in you to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you, not because you were being forced to automatically, puppeteered by strings or by a hand inside of you, but because you are for the first time in your life free to make those choices. The choice to love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. The choice to love your neighbor as yourself. The choice to let go of habits that have enslaved you, just like it's talking about here in Romans chapter 6, making you free in Him to be the person that you were created to be in the first place. This is what it means. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this is His call on you today. This is what we're after in this new year. This is what we are after in preparing for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're after. You can't imagine yourself being a missionary among your friends in your neighborhood speaking for Jesus. You can't imagine yourself going to the Salvation Army and serving food to those people. You can't imagine yourself doing those things. Don't focus on that. Let's focus right here. As we saw in Hebrews chapter 12, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's go where Jesus said. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I am not my own. But Christ lives in me. His character, His values, His love, His desire to please His Father. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life that makes my fingers move, my arms move, my feet walk, I live by faith in the Son of God. And this is why you can do this without worrying about it. Without worrying and saying, what's to become of me? What's to happen to me if I do this? You can do this with no fear, because His perfect love will cast out all your fear. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want you to know above anything else that you can trust Him. That in fact, everything that He has planned and created for your life depends on you trusting Him. All that He did by coming, as we celebrated at Christmas, becoming one of us, living that perfect example of a life for us, and giving His life to suffer on Calvary for our sins, does us no good unless we trust Him. So if you make one resolution this year, I pray that resolution is to say, yes, Lord, starting right now. Yes, Lord, I am yours. Take me. I'm willing for my old self that thought, I've got to manage everything to get what I need in life, to get what I want in life. No one else is going to look out for me. No one else is going to make sure that I don't get run over. To let go of all of that. And say, Lord, I'm yours. That's what it means to be crucified with Him. Romans 12 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what it means to be crucified with Him. Say, Lord, I am yours. I don't know how you can take me with all that I've done with my rebellions. I, just like every other sheep, has gone astray to my own way. But because of Jesus and His death on the cross, thank you. My sins are forgiven. I am accepted with you Now have me completely. Make me that new creation. Raise me to that new life that you have for me. Live in me your character of love and holiness, that I may be wholly yours and that I may shine for you until you come. In Jesus' name. Would you sing that song with me again? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you remember, by the way, at the end of the three angels' message, the description of the people who make it through and don't receive the mark of the beast? They have to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. That's the description of them. People that are completely his. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The just shall live by faith. Everything that we do, a manifestation of our faith in him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, because you so loved us that we may live through him, that we in complete faith can give ourselves to you, knowing that through him our sins are forgiven, that every barrier between you and us is taken away, and that we can come to you in simple faith. Please live out within your life within us, O Jesus, King of Kings. Please make us the people that you have created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.